Yes, we're going to sing Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dhyan Kohana. Page 37, I think it is. 37.
সঙ্গীর দুটি পদ যার ধন সম্পদ সঙ্গীর দুটি পদ
লীলা তারে স্ফুরে।
The subject matter of Gaur Mandala Bhumi centers around the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Vaishnava Sangha. So Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Doya Kora More, we hear Narottam Das Thakur appealing for the mercy of beginning with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, and then appealing for the mercy of all the Vaishnavas. And here in this song, Srila Prabhupada liked very much to repeat the third verse. Gorangira Sangi Gane Nitya Siddha Kori Mane Se Jai Brajendra Sutta Pass Shri Gora Mandala Bhumi Jeva Jane Chintamani Tar Hoy Braja Bhumi Bas. Simply by understanding that the associates of Lord Gauranga are eternally free from material contamination, one can immediately be promoted to the transcendental abode of Lord Sri Krishna. So just by understanding this one thing, what is this? That the associates of Lord Chaitanya are eternally liberated souls. If we can understand that, then we can be immediately directed to the service of Brajendra Nanda in Vrindavan. Shri Gora Mandala Bhumi, if one simply understands that the land of Navadvip or Gora Mandala is not different from Vrindavan, then he actually lives in Vrindavan. So this is we started to discuss in the first week of our classes, is the special significance of the relationship between Navadvip Dham and Vrindavan Dham. So we began our course in Navadvip, and we heard from the different acharyas how important Navadvip Dham was. Then we proceeded on from there to Puri, and we saw there that Mahaprabhu's pastimes were very mysterious and very internal. And then we proceeded in the next week to go to Vrindavan and hear of some of the exalted personalities who can help us in our aspiration to develop the mood of loving service to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Shamasunda. Now again, we're returning back to Gora Mandala for the last week of our studies, and we're going to hear about the lives of some of the great Vaishnava associates of Lord Chaitanya, and also the significance of their pastimes. So when I was preparing this class, I wanted to read to you about the many branches of the Chaitanya tree, but I wasn't sure whether or not it would become difficult for some people to hear name after name after name, especially as they're not familiar with some of the personalities or what were their pastimes. So then I thought that I could read some and pick out some of the prominent associates of Lord Chaitanya and explain some of their particular significance to you. Then also I was reading from the Antyalila chapter 2 about Shivananda Sen, how it was explaining how Shivananda Sen, he was such an important associate of Lord Chaitanya, that he experienced the three different ways that Lord Chaitanya could influence or affect people. It describes here, and then when I opened this book, it was interesting that the exact same subject matter was being on this page of Adilila as the one that was on Antilila. So I thought perhaps this was what we should emphasize in our talking today. So it describes here that Lord Chaitanya bestows his causeless mercy upon his devotees in three features. There's three ways he gives his mercy. One is his own direct appearance, that's called shakshad, directly he can give his mercy. This is of course to one who saw him, who had the good fortune to be present at the time when he was performing his pastimes. And the second way that he gave his mercy to his devotees was when he gave his prowess within somebody who he empowered, which is called avesh. And the third way that he gave his mercy was called avibhav, and that is when he directly manifests himself. So there are three different ways that Mahaprabhu influenced or distributed love of Godhead during his pastimes here on earth. And why is it important for us to appreciate the exalted nature of the associates of Mahaprabhu? It is because two of these different ways that he bestows his mercy, two out of three, are through the agency of the Vaishnava associate. So there's an example given of this avesh. when he empowers somebody. And there's an example given of his avibhav, or his manifestation. So it says here that this Avesh, when he appears like this, the story is given of Nakul Brahmachari. That Nakul Brahmachari, he was, everybody said that the Lord had come within him. And people were coming from all around to see him. And they were so impressed and saying that Lord Chaitanya is manifesting himself through Nakul Brahmachari. He's such a great devotee. So Shivananda Sen, he wanted to see if this was actually correct, because sometimes it can be something bogus. So he came to that place and he was thinking to himself, if the Lord is actually manifesting his presence in Nakul Brahmachari, then he will know my mantra that I chant. So when he came, he stayed some distance away from Nakul Brahmachari and was watching him. And while he was watching him, he went here, it says here that desiring to test the authenticity of Nakul Brahmachari, he stayed outside thinking as follows. If Nakul Brahmachari personally calls me and knows my worshipable mantra, then I shall understand that he is inspired by the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thinking in this way, he stayed some distance apart. There was a large crowd of people, some coming and some going. Indeed, some in that great crowd could not even see Nakul Brahmachari. So this is how it was actually with all the associates of Mahaprabhu. They were so influential because they are all the eternal associates of the Lord. They are not conditioned souls. So there is no covering of the modes of nature. There is no ignorance of the Lord's identity in their hearts. So when people would meet them, they would become as deeply moved as when they met the Lord himself. So in his inspired state, Nakul Brahmachari said, Shivananda Sen is staying some distance away. Two or four of you go and call him. Thus people began running here and there, calling in all directions. Shivananda, whoever is Shivananda, please come. Nakul Brahmachari is calling you. Hearing these calls, Shivananda Sen quickly went there. He offered his obeisances to Nakul Brahmachari and he sat down near him. Nakul Brahmachari said, I know that you are doubtful. Now please hear this evidence with great attention. You are chanting the Gaura Gopal mantra composed of four syllables. Now please give up all the doubts that have resided within you. Shivananda Sen thereafter developed full confidence in his mind that Nakul Brahmachari was filled with the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shivananda Sen then offered him respect and devotional service. In this way one should understand the inconceivable potencies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these inconceivable potencies he manifests through the form of the Vaishnavas. And that too was manifest in two different ways. It was manifest through their character and the example that they set and their behavior. And it was manifest also through their writings. And both of these things are the gift of India, or more specifically, Srila Prabhupada says, the gift of Bengal to the rest of the world. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada himself appearing in Bengal, he was fulfilling the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that everybody in India, it was their duty if they were born in India, to make themselves perfect, to understand all the conclusions of the Gaudiya Shastra, and to make their behavior and character ideal. And then, after they had done that, they should go out and save the rest of the world. So Srila Prabhupada oftentimes would speak this verse, particularly when he was speaking to an Indian audience. He liked to pin them down on this, that actually this is your duty. Why aren't you doing it? This is the responsibility of all Indians. But he also, because we are also followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we have come forward, even if we are not born in India, so we also have the same responsibility. And that responsibility is to make ourselves suitable in character
and in siddhanta, or understanding, so that the Lord can do as he has done here with Nakul Brahmachari, and he can fill us with his presence. The second way that Mahaprabhu manifests his mercy through the devotees, or to the devotees, is known as avibhav. In this way, one should understand the inconceivable potencies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please hear now how his appearance, avibhav, takes place. Then Kaviraj Goswami explains to us that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always appears in four places. Can anyone guess any of those four places he appears always? Yes, Sachi, Mother Sachi's house. Wherever Lord Nityananda dances. Srivas Thakur's house. Oh, this is good. And one more. It's an yes, Raghava Pandit. Very good. 2 out of 2. So 2 for eating and 2 for kirtan. You can see the importance of prasad. Mother Sachi, he appears there daily. And he appears for Raghava Pandit because they both have such intense love for him. We read that Raghava Pandit in Krishna Leela is Dhanista. Dhanista is a very prominent gopi. She comes oftentimes from Nandagram to Javat to collect Srimati Radharani and bring her to cook for Krishna. So here we see in this form, Dhanista herself is cooking for Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Raghava Pandit became famous for his bag. And we know how he and his sister used to prepare it. And there's one story how he used to send it every year, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not honoring any of that prasad. And Govinda was too afraid to tell anyone. So he was storing it all in a room, and it was piled up and up and up and up. And all the devotees would say, how did the Lord like this? How did the Lord, did he like this? I sent this. And Govinda was telling lies to everybody and saying, yes, yes, it was. He's very nice, very nice. But meanwhile, it was all piling up in a room. So finally, he came to the Lord and he said to him that, I'm very much unhappy about this. So he asked, what is the problem? And he said, I have to lie to all the Vaishnavas. They all ask me, did he eat this? Did he try this? Was this good? And I say, yes, 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 as a good Indian should. But actually, he's not eating any of it. And I don't feel very happy to have to keep saying like this. So Mahaprabhu said, all right, bring it all here. And there was a huge quantity of prasadam from months and months and months. So we can just imagine if you packed up so much prasadam in a room and left it for a few months, what it would smell like. But everything was perfectly fresh, as if it had just been cooked. And all the prasadam was placed before the Lord. And he tasted something of everything and satisfied all the devotees' desires to cook for him. So in the same way it's said that Sachi Devi knows that her Krishna Balaram deities, Nitai and Gaur, they come every day and they take the prasad that she's cooking. And sometimes she'll be offer it and she'll be crying and crying and crying and thinking of her son. And he'll come and take it. He personally comes and takes that prasad. And when she stops crying, she sees it's gone. And even though it says in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that in her deepest of hearts, she knows that her son, Nimai, comes every day for that prasad. But yet she can't quite believe it. So she thinks, oh, I didn't cook. So she goes again and prepares something else for him and brings it again. So in the same way when Nityananda dances, nobody can resist, especially not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So wherever he begins a kirtan and starts to dance, then the Lord immediately goes there in this avibhav form. And those who are fortunate, they can see him. And those who are less fortunate, they can perceive his presence. And those who are completely covered by impious activities, they are completely unaware of his presence there at all. And the other place, of course, Srivas Pandit's house, is so it's so essential to the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the love that he feels for Srivas Pandit, there's one beautiful poem written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a song, where he tells the story of the death of Srivas Thakur's son in many songs, one after another. There's about 23 songs. And he notes in there, as if he's witnessing the event, He glorifies the amazing devotion of Srivast Thakur that his own son died. And he ordered his wife and all of the women in the family, because we can imagine a Bengali family, they're so loving to their children. If their son dies, we ourselves would be overwhelmed if our son was to die. What to speak of a Bengali mother whose everything is her son. So they were crying and crying, and when Srivast Thakur came to see them and saw that they were lamenting, he said, if you lament now, this will create some defect in the pleasure of the Lord, in his Sankirtan. So you should not exhibit any feelings like this. You have to all be very joyful and take part in the Kirtan as if nothing has happened. So he insisted on this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in writing these beautiful songs, he's as if witnessing it, as if he's watching a drama being performed, or a life experience. And he's saying something at the end of each song, which is his reflection on that particular aspect of that pastime. So he gives us an insight in that song, that when the Lord finally said, actually something, I don't feel completely happy tonight. Something is not quite right. When sunrise had come in the early morning, then only Srivast Thakur told him what had taken place in the night. And when he told him, and Mahaprabhu understood why he hadn't told him, just to allow him to taste the pleasure of his Sankirtan, he didn't want to disturb him with this news, then Mahaprabhu broke down and wept. And he was saying, how can I leave these devotees? And he promised Srivast that because of your love, I'll become your son. Then he called the dead boy and asked him to come back to life and asked him, why have you left these elevated souls? You have their association. Why have you left? So then the young boy, the soul returned to the body of the young boy, and he gave very wonderful transcendental instruction. And he explained that actually, I'm called by my karma and by your desire now to leave this situation. And he explained, of course, how the soul and the body were different, and how these bodily designations are all temporary, and how the purpose of all of our activities should simply to be developing our love for the absolute relationship with Krishna himself. And then, after speaking so many philosophical words, he requested Mahaprabhu to permit him to now go on to his next destination. So Mahaprabhu gave him his blessings, and the body again became lifeless. And then Sivananda Sen and his family took the body to the Ganga, bathed the boy's body in the Ganga, and the Ganga was so honored to have the opportunity to have this boy's darshan of this boy, his body. And then all the funeral ceremonies were performed. And all of the family members of Srivast Thakur all lost all feeling of lamentation. They became completely peaceful and completely happy by way of the transcendental knowledge and the relationship of love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offering to them. So it describes in many places in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita how the Lord was completely bound by the love of his devotees. He couldn't resist them. And so many times even he would order them, don't come to Puri. He ordered Nod Nityananda, you stay in Bengal and preach. He ordered them different things, but they would all disobey him. And it describes that if somebody follows the order of their superior very carefully, this is ideal. But if out of the intensity of love, one goes over the top of that order, disobeys the order, simply to get that association, then this is a higher stage still. And when Mahaprabhu saw that his followers, all the Vaishnavas from Gaur Mandala, they were so much anxious to spend that 4 months with him, they couldn't live without his association, then he became so mercifully disposed towards them. We also read in brief in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how when the devotees were returning to Bengal after the rainy season, after the Chaturmasya, they would all meet with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he'd give each one of them instruction and nourish them, nourish their relationships with him. He would make some joke with one. He would ask another one, please don't forget to bring this thing. He would answer the questions of another one. He would ask have some loving exchange between family members with another one, with Sri Mukunda from Shikanda, and Mukunda Narahari and Raghunandan, Murari Mukunda and Narahari. He asked, who is the father and who is the son? Because Mukunda, was it Mukunda and Raghunandan was his son or Murari? I don't know. I think it's Mukunda. So he asked him, who is the father and who is the son? And he answered, pointing to his son, he's the father and I'm the son. Because he, first of all, obtained your mercy. He was, first of all, attracted to your service. And he instructed me and I followed him. So he is actually my father and I'm his son. And in this way, so many loving exchanges and so many instructions were given. When the devotees from Sri Kanda used to ask, who is a Vaishnav? They would ask many questions like this, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would give so many relevant instructions to them that are recorded here for our understanding. For all time, we can read these things by the mercy of Krishna Das Kaviraj, and we can witness the association of the Vaishnavas with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What was his mood? What did he want? How did he want the Vaishnavas to interact with each other? What should be their symptoms? How can we tell who is more advanced, less advanced? All these things, all this information Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given for the benefit of the whole world. And he's used to give this information his own Nitya Siddha Parikas, or associates. And they have come with him, and they interact with him in so many ways, in Bengal, in Gaur Mandala, in Jagannath Puri, and in Vrindavan. In all three places, their pastimes continue and guide us and instruct us on what is a Vaishnava and what is Vaishnava etiquette. So, since we started a little late, I'd just like to read you also something interesting about Gaudiya Vaishnava literature. This is part of an article from The Harmonist, which was the magazine of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, just as our Srila Prabhupada has Back to Godhead magazine, was his inspirational journal, which has grown into a worldwide backbone for so many devotees, for transcendental knowledge and information, and also for preaching. Similarly, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he compiled a magazine first called the Gaudiya, which was in Bengali, and then later on the Harmonist from Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Sajana Toshini, which was in English. So in this Harmonist, there is one article called Madhava Gaudiya Literature. So I'm reading just the last few paragraphs of this particular article because part of the article is not entirely relevant to our circumstance. It is not our contention that all people of this world are under the necessity of learning the Bengali language in order to deserve to be saved by availing themselves of the only dispensation of this age. The mercy of the spiritual guide is open to all persons on the only condition that one really wishes to attain to the unconditional service of the Absolute. So this is the desire that will always protect us. Sometimes devotees talk to me and they say, I'm very much worried, I'm afraid that this might happen or that might happen. Sometimes they say, I'm afraid to read this book or talk about these things because I'm afraid maybe I will become sahajiya or I will become misguided. So many concerns that we have that are very valid, that we should always keep these concerns so that they will protect us. But the real protection that will save us from going wrong is only one thing, and that is that we really learn how to desire unconditional service to the Absolute. To understand that we also are eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as these Nitya Siddha devotees who we're hearing about and we will glorify in the next few days, we have to want to become like them. We have to want to accept our natural position as an eternal servant of Lord Chaitanya and an eternal servant of Krishna himself, Radha and Krishna. The Gaudiya literature enshrines also that which is revealed by the mercy of the bona fide spiritual guide. The literature offers the absolute in a continuous and visible form to all the peoples of the world. This is the function of all the revealed scriptures. These records are a great help to those who are given access to them by the mercy of Guru. So these literatures include, in this definition of Madhva Gaudiya literatures, he gives different kinds of them. He says it includes the original works that treat the career of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It includes the commentaries on the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, the Brahma Samhita and so forth. So it includes the histories of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It includes the commentaries by the Vaishnava Acharyas, including our Srila Prabhupada's purports. It includes the works devoted to the elucidation of the principles and practices of the religion of spontaneous loving devotion taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means it includes all the instructions and guidance on how to practice Raganuga Bhakti as well as Vaidhi Bhakti. And it includes the hymns and prayers, in other words, the bhajans. These are all included in what is called Madhva Gaudiya literature. That means all of the accumulated writings that come in our Gaudiya Parampara. They don't have to be also written hundreds of years ago. As I said, Srila Prabhupada is also in this Madhva Gaudiya Parampara literature. They represent the agency by whom the divine mercy is showered on all conditioned souls. The scriptures and their authorized exponents have an identical complementary function, which is nothing less than the duty of dispensing the divine mercy to the deserving as well as to the undeserving alike. So here he's talking about two things that come from Gaur Mandala: the scriptures and their authorized exponents. Now he's bringing us up to date by saying, the Gaudiya literatures will be translated into all the languages of the world by the agents of the divine mercy at the appointed time. There will also no doubt spring up a mighty host of pseudo-exponents and an immense body of spurious Gaudiya literature, as has been the case in the past. So spurious means it's not bona fide. It looks like it's Gaudiya literature, but there's something wrong with it. And pseudo-exponents, of course, means that they say that they're following the teachings and the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but there's some insincerity there. Something is eclipsed. Something is not real. They are not seekers of unconditional service. They are not seeking to become a servant. They want to enjoy. They want to enjoy even the Gaudiya literatures. So this in itself, this enjoying mood, disqualifies one from unconditional service to Guru and unconditional service to the Parampara and unconditional service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what we, as followers of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, have to examine in our own hearts and try to remove. So then he is saying about these spurious literatures that it has been the case in the past. This is all to be expected by those really thoughtful persons. But nothing can have the least power of depriving a person of the mercy of the real agents of the divine mercy, except, here's the except, here's the warning, except one's deliberate refusal to avail of the very same when it is offered at his very doorstep in a perfectly recognizable form. As soon as a single person will have conceived a sincere desire of undertaking the promulgation of the tidings of the Gaudiya literature to the peoples of this world, he is thereby enrolled amongst the agents of divine mercy, with the power to forward the fulfillment of this expressed wish of the Supreme Lord. So we can see here also very clearly why it was that Srila Prabhupada placed so much emphasis on the distribution of books. And he was stressing this so much and encouraging all the devotees to have a mood wherein they should want to distribute his books. And Srila Prabhupada one time personally with my husband, he was speaking in Hawaii, and they were talking about book distribution, and Srila Prabhupada said, "What is this book distribution?" He said, "It is distribution of knowledge. That's what it means. It's not to make a certain quota. That's just the external impetus to get somebody to get some energy and momentum, some drive, so that they can do the work. You make some competitive mood to get them enthused. But what is the meaning behind what you're doing? If you're doing something externally, after a while you become tired of it. Or you lose the inner meaning behind it, and it becomes either mechanical or somehow perverted, because you're not understanding what is the essence of what you're doing. So the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books means to give a chance to people all over the world to read this Gaudiya, Madhava Gaudiya literature. Then, this is very extraordinary. You'll like this. It says, this is for all those who are busy distributing Madhava Gaudiya literature. It says that the Gaudiya literature will not long remain confined to the Bengali-speaking people. It will in a short time expand and display its full brilliancy through the medium of all the languages, wait for this, including those of the birds, beasts, and the vegetable tribes. So the birds, beasts, and the vegetable tribes. So this is quite amazing and inconceivable. This goes beyond all of our concepts of book distribution. Can you imagine distributing to the vegetable tribes?
We can expect the cabbage to dance.
Only daughter, if you can get them to take a book. So this is very amazing. This expands our consciousness to such a degree. Imagine that. We have such a tiny idea of what we're doing. Like a small child who's got a big, thick crayon and a huge piece of paper. And they're going like this. And they're writing an A. And one down here and one across the middle. And they're so proud of themselves. And they take this huge A and they show everyone, "See how big I did it?" But if you were to ask them to make a type-sized one, they'd be completely bewildered. Because this is about as accurate as they can make it if it's about this big. So this means there's some grossness to their endeavor because they're just a child. And as they practice and practice and practice, they'll become more and more skilled. And then their ability to write will improve. And then they can do so many things. They can learn even calligraphy and decorative writing and so many things. But the beginning is this very big, enormous effort and so much pride because, see, I write A. And somebody in the next desk says, "Well, I can write B." A and B. And so then what do? Of course, they quarrel. And one says, "You're not supposed to write B, you're only supposed to write A." They say, "If you write B, it won't be good. Everybody's only writing A, you're writing a B." And the one who's writing B is saying, no, I know everything because I know how to write B." And then somebody else says, "You know, there's a C as well." And then they all get confused. And then they all start arguing with each other. And then they say, "Well, you give me your pen because your pen writes better than my pen." And they start... And I've seen this, and this is what happens if you put some nursery students, children together, and you leave them, they'll all start quarreling. And they'll all become proud, and they'll think they know so much, and they'll try to teach each other. And they'll try to show how what they're learning, everybody should be like them. And if anyone isn't like them, then there's something wrong with them. So the one who's doing B's will try to enforce his power upon the one who's doing A's. And the one who's doing A's will feel intimidated by the B writer. And we can think, this is A's and B's, and there's a whole life beyond A, B, C, D. Then there's reading, then there's writing, then there's grammar, then there's so many things. But they're busy arguing and quarreling over their skills in writing the alphabet. So we should not be like that. We should not become proud of what we have learned, because it's, generally speaking, quite basic. And we should not also try to lord it over others who have not learnt what we have learnt already. And if we can maintain the proper etiquette, as we see in the lives of these Vaishnavas, we will read for the next 3 days about some of the prominent Vaishnavas, and we can try to adopt their mood, then we can go beyond this kanista mentality of quarreling, and we can come to the point where we can actually understand, as we're reading, simply by understanding that the associates of Lord Gauranga are eternally free from material contamination, one can immediately, not one day, immediately. Why don't our ears prick up when we hear that word? Why do we remain dull and sit here listening immediately, fair enough, as if we didn't hear anything? Listen to what Narottam Das Thakur is saying. One can immediately be promoted to the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna. There's no reason why we're here except our own lack of desire to be there. We should understand that deeply. It's our fault. It's no other person's fault. It's our misfortune that we don't have a strong enough desire. And if we start to aspire to have that desire, where do we get it? We get it by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If one says, let me dive deep into the waves of the nectarine ocean of the loving movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya, he immediately becomes one of the confidential devotees of Radha and Krishna. It does not matter whether one is a householder living at home or a vanaprastha or a sannyasi living in the forest. If he chants, O Gauranga, and becomes a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Narottam Das Thakur begs to have his company. So this is how it comes immediately, by good association. And we should aspire for good association, and we should aspire to become good association. By taking advantage of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pastimes of his associates and their example, and studying the Madhava Gaudiya literature. So I'll stop here. We're just in time for evening aarti. If there are any questions, they can be asked. If not, we should all proceed to the temple room. Jai.